Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. What a marvelous day. 70 years. That's almost old as I am. 70 years, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. I thought about it as these three men stood here singing. They are not three finer music men anywhere than those three men. They love God. They love their church and their family and their pastor. Of course, I have known Brother Johnson and Brother Spencer. I want to call them Andrew and Phil. And Corey. I held him when he's a baby. He's now 39 years old on the war. But can you imagine me holding him now in my arms? No way. No way. A while ago, the pastor recognized a number of people that have been members of the church for 50 years. But I talked to several people this morning that reminded me they'd been members of the church for more than 60 years. How many of you, if I may ask, lift your hand if you've been a member more than 60 years? Most of them can't hear. Some of them are so old they can't hear, so somebody had to tell them, raise your hand. But I'm so glad you're here today. Momentous occasion. How many churches are going as strong as Worth Baptist Church is after 70 years and four pastors? Isn't God good? Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's the Lord's day. This is God's book. The message is God's message. Jesus is God's son, and we are God's children. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, what a day for you to do so on this 70th anniversary. 3,640 Sundays ago. Did you get that? 3,640 Sundays ago on March the 5th in the year of our Lord 1954. As a pastor has already mentioned, a small group of people met. They met actually in the living room of my brother, Bob, to organize an independent Baptist church. And when they got through, they had organized what is now Worth Baptist Church. My brother Bob pastored the church for 7 years and did a yeoman's job laying a foundation. You know, no building is worth anything without a foundation. No church is worth anything without a foundation. So God used Bob to lay a foundation upon which we are still building 70 years later. God is good. For several months, the church met in a storefront building on Wichita Street in Pauley area of Fort Worth. Later, in 1954, the church purchased an empty frame church building on Wilbarger Street. The building needed many repairs. It was an old building. It had been abandoned for some time. But all these repairs were done, and the congregation met there until 1958, when a brick sanctuary was built. It was about this time that Bob asked me to become his assistant pastor, and by graces of the church, I answered that call and became assistant pastor. Well, that was a great promotion for me because they got me out of running a vacuum cleaner and cleaning out toilets and what have you, and then becoming a secretary. And Pat Roberts and I worked together. I was new and she was new, and neither one of us knew what we were doing. I've got ink under my fingernails today from the old mimeograph machine that we had to turn and turn and turn. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm happy today that God was working out his plan. You know, sometimes God's working a plan we know nothing about. I'm sure that I knew nothing about a plan that God was working out, that one day I'd become pastor of the church. And I'm grateful today for the experience that God gave us back in those days. By the way, God has a plan for your life. He has a pattern and a program and a prescription and a purpose for your life. You're not here just accidentally. You're here by divine decree of the God of the universe, and he is still watching over you today. And I should tell you that God's not going to change his plan to fit into your life. He's going to change your life to fit into his plan. We serve a great God. The new sanctuary was built in part by men of the church. It fell my lot to be on the roofing crew. You know, I was on the brick crew on this building. I've got bricks out there now that are laid on. Be careful when you come in the south door, because some of those bricks may crumble, because I'd never had a brick in my hand except one that I threw at a boy one time. But I'd never had a shingle in my hand, but I learned soon how to put them in and how to nail them down. And the roof of that church never did leak after that. So I'm glad today that we can have these experiences. I remained as assistant pastor until late 1961, when Bob resigned to become pastor of the Baptist Tabernacle in Danville, Virginia. This was our home church. It was founded by my father the same year that I was born, 1932. It grew to become the largest independent Baptist church in the state of Virginia. It was upon my dad's death that Bob was called to pastor the tabernacle. Now, I'll give you a side note, will be of interest to you. Bob, my brother Otis, and I were all three baptized in 1943 on the same Sunday night in the tabernacle. Don't you know that was a great hour for my dad? To baptize three of his boys on the same night. It was a great night for all of us. Now back to the history of the church. On the last Sunday of December 1961, I candidated for the pastorate. When the vote was taken and counted, I received all but 4 votes. May the Lord bless and rest the souls of those who stood on the wrong side of the fence that night. But the men of the church thought I was J. Frank Norris, Harold Smith, and M.F. Hamm wrapped in one. I thought so too. It didn't take me long to find out that wasn't true. But it was on the second Sunday of January 1962 that I was officially installed to serve as pastor for 35 years. This past January the 14th marked 73 years I've been in the ministry. And of the 70 years of this church's history, I've been an official part for 65 of those years. Now, I've read a lot. I've been around the block several times. But really, I don't know of any length of time that a man might have spent in that framework anywhere. But I praise God for the 65 years that I've been able to serve this church. I was 7 months shy of my 29th birthday when I was called as pastor of Worth Baptist Church. Now you know where the term 29 comes from. The 29ers. I told them I'd never be older than 29, so they just set in 29 for the senior citizens. Well, they got fooled on that. At the time, I say this very humbly, and I was very young to have this position. I was professor and dean of the Bible Baptist Seminary. My teaching career spanned 35 years, so I told the people when I retired, it was time for me to retire. I'd been working 70 years, 35 years preaching, pastoring, and 35 teaching. Now, during the years of 1962 to 1976, a period of 14 years, the church experienced extensive growth. We purchased 3 houses, one on either side of us and one behind us, over there on Wilbarger Street, for Sunday school classrooms. I began a radio program, which continued for 10 years, until one day I got a call from the manager, and he said, "Pastor Barber, we're going to a full-fledged Spanish programming on our station. Do you speak Spanish?" And I said, "Sí." Enchilada, taco, frijoles, I know them all. At that ended the 10-year of the broadcast. But now that was called Worth Baptist Hour. And a lot of people teased me and said, "You call it hour, it was only a half hour," but that was not the point. That was just the name of the program. But by the way, due to the ability and the dedication and willingness for Keith Jones and his team, those programs, Worth Baptist Hour, are on Worth Baptist Church. Now, on our I know nothing about the terminology of they say it's on this and on that and this app and that app and so forth. I know nothing about apps. I know a few things about, well, but anyway, he says you can dial up or do whatever you do and you can get one of those 3,000 hits on one just recently. Worth Baptist Hour, care of Worth Baptist Church, and you know the rest, so you take care of that. Thank you, Keith, and your men for putting those on the internet where people can get them. In those days, we began a bus ministry. We had one old shaky bus that we bought from a local church who had worn that thing out, and we had to do it all over. But at any rate, hundreds of children were saved during those 40 years and continue to be saved on the bus ministry, and thank God for it. One thing that greatly enhanced the growth of our Sunday school was the construction of a 10,000-square-foot education building which cost us $100,000. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money now, but back in the 60s, that was a lot of money. But we raised it and paid it off. I remember being in Dallas to secure a loan the day that the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, was assassinated. More policemen than I'd ever seen in life. But the loan was secured and the building was built. But I can tell you, before that Sunday school building was built, we had space heaters for the winter and swamp boxes for the summer. Some of you know what a swamp box is. That's a water cooler. So every winter, early on Sunday morning, icy weather, I'd come down from the house to light those space heaters. Almost set the building on fire several times. But then in the summer, I came down sweating, hot, to turn on the swamp boxes so that the children, as well as adults, could be cool or hot in the right season. 1976, the church purchased the 14 acres upon which this building rests. The property cost us $165,000. We raised that and paid it off. In a matter of weeks, we sold $1 million of church bonds to build this building. We came up $50,000 short. My wife and I decided that we would mortgage our home and take care of that $50,000, and it was all paid back. And those $1 million in bonds, we called them in before they were due, and God blessed in such a wonderful way. We had a victorious note burning service, and I can tell you that the flame, now listen very carefully, we have a picture of this. And the flame on that note that was burned turned out to be in the shape of a cross. Where's Ron? Am I right, Ron? The cross. He showed it to me. I didn't know it until Big Shot that had to show it to me. And in the shape of a cross. We've been on the cross and under the cross and on top of the cross, with the cross, since day one. I love those songs they sang a while ago about the cross and the midnight cry. God is so good. He's done so many wonderful things. Before the collapse of the Russian Empire in 1991, the church purchased 100,000 Bibles at $1 apiece. Now, for you folks from over in Georgia, that's $100,000. I started to say Oklahoma, but I looked around and saw too many people from Oklahoma. But my wife and I, along with Ron Baldwin and Rick and Janice Richards, flew to Helsinki, Finland, and then on to Moscow, where we stood just outside Lenin's tomb on Red Square and passed out Bibles, even to the soldiers that guarded the tomb. What a wonderful experience that was. And I mean, they allowed us to go into schools and college rooms. At that time, you couldn't get a Bible in a schoolroom in America. But they just opened their arms. They grabbed up the Bibles quicker than we could give them to them. We had one man that met us in the hotel room before we left to go out and hand out some Bibles. Someone had given him a Bible, I think after he had gotten to Moscow, one of his friends that he served in the army with. He grabbed that Bible, pulled it close to his chest and said, "I've wanted a Bible all of my life." He traveled 500 miles to get that Bible. By train and walking and bus, 500 miles. Time passed and God continued to bless. In the early 80s, we built the Family Life Center. $565,000. Every dime was paid by the time we opened the doors to go in and use the building. God was so good. Getting closer to retirement age and developing some health issues, I felt it was best for the church that I step aside in favor of a young man coming in to pastor the church. When I announced my plan to the men of the church, they asked me to recommend three men whom I felt would be qualified to pastor the church. After much prayer and consideration, I came up with three names, one of which was Willie Weaver. I put their names before the men, and they chose Willie Weaver. And the congregation voted for Brother Weaver. He served as pastor for 19 years, did a great job. And new ministries were started under his ministry. One of the most effective that was started is what is now the Bridge to Recovery. That's a great ministry. That's a great ministry. Scores of people have been saved through that ministry. And the man who is presently leading that, Brother John Foster, he's told you his testimony. He himself was delivered from several addictions, all by the grace of God. And he's doing a good job replacing Brother Earl Sides. By the way, Brother Earl Sides is an all-around man. Most of you know, he knows everybody in the United States. We just returned from a 50-year conference, 50-year-old conference at Pensacola Christian College. And honestly, I thought I knew all those people, but he put me to shame. I don't know where he learned all of those people, but he knew most of them, just like it is. But anyway, we couldn't have made the trip without Earl. And Pastor, we appreciate you appointing him, asking him to go with us. Isn't that great to help us with our luggage? We couldn't have made it if it hadn't have been for him. God bless Earl Sides. During the ministry of Dr. Weaver, the church underwent a $1 million renovation. That was under the supervision of Rod Baldwin. That's the reason you have cracks all around the carpet coming up and ceiling. No, I'm just kidding. It's great, but a great thing. Brother Weaver continued a strong emphasis on missions, organizing short-term mission trips and conducting annual mission conferences. He now serves as pastoral evangelist, and God has used him in a very wonderful way. When he retired, the church called Brother Tyler Gillett to be our pastor. His 9 years as pastor have proven that the choice was not our choice, it was God's choice. And could I tell you that God's choice is always choice. Stand up, Brother Gillett. I know he doesn't like to be here. He doesn't like to be here. He and rather every one of you would give him a $10 bill when you leave rather than have him stand up and applaud for him. But I'm telling you, as a powerful preacher of the gospel, this man has been a blessing to Worth Baptist Church. He's likewise effective as a compassionate leader of God's people. He has a deep-seated Bible-based conviction, many convictions, and he makes no apologies for his stand on Bible principles, Bible doctrines. He loves his members, and we love him. We salute you, Pastor Gillett. The glowing report that was given of the 2023 stewardship celebration back on January the 28th is a testimonial of God's blessings upon his ministry as pastor of our church. And the best is yet to come. Now, during these 70 years, Worth Baptist Church has gained a reputation for the church where the gospel of blood redemption is preached. Not only on the part of the present pastor, but the three pastors preceding, all four pastors. And I can promise you that that reputation will not be rescinded, revoked, or repudiated today, nor in the years to come. So I want you right now, and I know what time it is, you don't have to look at your watch and shake it and go with all that, because I'm going to go as long as I need to go. I mean, if you have to leave, why, feel free to get up and leave. But I'm going to stay here until I get through. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're finding your place in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete. Man of God may be perfect. And we're glad that we have a man who has that perfection, that growth, that maturity in the things of the Scripture as he sits here on this platform today. I've entitled my message, The Gospel of Blood Redemption. I'm going to read, after I pray, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, and through verse 4. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for 70 years that we've shared here in this place, where many souls have come to know Christ, where hearts have been transformed and blessed in lives and homes and families, and little children and old men, and all have found Christ as personal Savior. And now we pray for the reading of your word and the preaching in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Paul writes, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now please don't miss this. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Please underscore those three, four words, "according to the Scriptures." "And that he was buried." You know, the burial of our Lord Jesus is certainly a good sign that he died. You ever thought about that? Some people say, "Well, I don't know whether he ever died or not." Well, they buried him. You don't bury alive people. "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." The gospel of blood redemption. I see in the first place that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Isaiah 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment and led as a lamb to the slaughter. A sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He died according to the scriptures, Isaiah 53. He was buried in the second place, and he was buried, verse 4 of that 15th chapter. Not only did he die according to the scriptures, but he was buried. And we're going to see that he's not only buried, but that he rose again. And that's the peak and the height of it all. We have but one message to preach, ladies and gentlemen. Paul gives us a stern warning about what to preach and what not to preach in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word accursed simply means to come into disfavor with God. And ladies and gentlemen, to preach any other gospel is to make null and void the death of Jesus Christ. What is our message? Our message is the gospel of blood redemption. Write it on the walls of your mind, blood redemption. Engrave it on the lobes of your heart, blood redemption. Deposit it in the vault of your soul, blood redemption. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says in the Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, unto him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Unto him be glory and majesty, dominion and power. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and chapter 9, please don't miss this. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every people, kindred, tongue, and nation. You know, sometimes we get the idea that God is an American God, or God is a Texan. No, no, no. God loved the world. Amen. That he sent his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. Ladies and gentlemen, the keynote of our message is salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, after preaching blood redemption for 73 years, I see no reason to change. I'm staying with the old-time religion right to the end. We used to sing a song, the old-time religion was good enough for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. It was good enough for our fathers, and it's good enough for me. It was good enough for our mothers, and it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven, and it's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying, and it's good enough for me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. All because Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not after we got saved, but while we were yet sinners, he loved us. He died according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, he was buried. Matthew relates clearly the story of his burial, which is one-third of the gospel formula. He died, he was buried, he rose again. Matthew spells it out for us in Matthew 27. Then I see part three of the gospel formula. He died according to the Scriptures, he was buried, he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now listen. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus lives again according to the Scriptures. Remember when the women came to the tomb early on the morning? The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. And here it is, four of the greatest words ever spoken. He is not here. You'll have to look somewhere else. He is not here. And four twin words, for he is risen. They didn't steal his body and take it away. He arose. He arose. Let me tell you, folks, Hollywood could never stage a production like that. Here comes the angel sitting down on the stone. Here come the women. Here comes the announcement. Nobody but God could do that. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Our victory lap is based on Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 19 and following. Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But, I like this, now, I really love that, now is Jesus risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What a wonderful victory lap is going to be ours. Get ready for it. Get on your running shoes, folks, because we're going to have a running good time. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, would you stand with me, please, for our prayer? Every head is bowed. We're trusting. Nobody's going to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I bid you step out of your seat, make your way to the front. There'll be somebody here to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it. No doubt about it. While our heads are bowed, the message of blood redemption should touch the hearts of every believer, as well as the unsaved. How many of you would say today that God has spoken to my heart from His Word about the gospel of blood redemption? Would you put your hand up and say, God spoke to my heart? God bless you. Many of you. Some of you today have come without Christ. We're not going to embarrass you. Not going to ask you to make a speech. We just want to help you. If you're here without Christ today, I invite you to step out. I said a moment ago, step out of your seat. Come to the front. There'll be someone to welcome you, to take the Word of God, and show you from the Scripture how you can be saved. If you're here as a Christian and God has laid something on your heart, spoken to you, given some kind of direction in your life, something you need to pray about at an altar prayer, I invite you to come. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the gospel of blood redemption. I pray that you'd bless every soul in this congregation today. Those who have felt the need of moving out, moving toward the front, spending a moment at an altar prayer, getting in touch with you, may they come. I pray in Jesus' name.